This conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. You may begin.
Welcome to everyone. This is Chuck. We're here for our Recommendation 6 Community Working Group meeting on the 20th of September. It's not quite so late at night for me this time. Sorry that isn't the same case for others of you. I am now in Hershey, Pennsylvania, just checked into my hotel room here for some company meetings about 40 minutes ago, so I have not caught up on email for the last 4 hours. So the team will have to help me out in that regard. So if there are things that need to be said in that regard, I appreciate the excellent exchanges that have been going on. I thought there's been some very constructive things. There's been some disagreements. That's okay. If we didn't have disagreements on a topic like this, we wouldn't be covering it. So, but thanks to everybody for your cooperation. Be thinking about any comments or questions on the agenda while Gisela tells us who's on the call.
Pleasure. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening to everyone. On today's call, we have Chuck Gomes, Cheryl Langdon Orr, Frank March, Konstantinos Komaitis, Milton Miller, Stuart Lawley, Krista Papik, John Nevitt, Sebastian Bachelet, Alan Greenberg, Avery Doria, Dave Kisundoyal, Richard Tyndall, Olivier Crespin-Leblon, Evan Leibovich, Steve Pinkos. From staff, we have Margie Milan, Marika Konings, Amy Status, Liz Gaster, David Olive, and myself, Gisela Gruber-White. And I don't have any apologies noted. Over to you, Chuck.
Thank you very much, Gisela. Does anyone have any comments on the agenda that I sent out? I guess it went out probably late U.S. time on Sunday after I landed on my flight back to the U.S. Any comments or questions on that? So what we will do is, first of all, determine the level of support for each of the remaining recommendations, and then we'll talk about any final edits to the report. And then the last few things are mainly just kind of wrap-up things that I won't go over right now. And to the extent that we have time, we can go back and tweak some wording. In fact, I want to do it. I thought some very good suggestions in terms of fixing a few of them are probably easy things to do. And to the extent that we can do that quickly, we'll do that as we go. If something gets a little more complicated, we'll come back to it time permitting. Any comments or questions on that? Then let's jump right in. And I know Cheryl and Frank will keep me straight when I don't look at my screen or I'm looking somewhere else or whatever. Please feel free. I'm very comfortable with that. In fact, I welcome it. And the rest of you, too. So starting off with recommendation 2.5, the latest poll had a 21 out of 21. Does anyone who did not do the poll want to speak to that one? Just raise your hand if you do. And we can take an oral vote if you're quick. I don't see any hands. So my conclusion is that that's full support for that recommendation. Does anybody want me or need me to read the recommendations when we come to them? If just one person does, I'll do it.
Chuck, if you could just do the topic header rather than read the whole thing.
Well, let's see. And the one I'm looking at, let's scroll down here to this one. I can probably do it. What I'm looking at doesn't have the header. Let me read it real quickly. Recommendation 2.5 is if individual governments have objections based on contradiction with specific national laws, such objections may be submitted through the community objections procedure and standards outlined in applicant guidebook version 4. Okay? Any comments or questions on that? It would be a full consensus, and I'm going to ask all of you to help, especially those that have been online today. I was just online in the morning and then had to be driving after that. So if there are any suggested edits that were made that are fairly constructive edits, please let me know when we do these, and we'll cover them at that time. I don't recall whether there were any on this or not. I don't think there were. Okay? Oh, yeah.
Hey, Chuck, this is John, if you're looking at the queue. There was one edit that Milton posed on this one. Just for grammatical purposes, before the word standards, he added the word using or utilizing. I don't have it in front of me, but I'm sure Margie may have taken it down. So objections may be submitted through the community objection process, and utilizing or using standards outlined in the AGB4.
And okay, all right. So you got that, Margie?
Yes, I have it. Thank you.
Good. All right. Very good. Thanks, John. And I'm going to need to rely on all of you. If I had been by my computer all day, I would have tried to get this all captured, but I couldn't do that driving. So very good. Let's go then, if there are no more hands, to recommendation 4.1. And that one is ultimate resolution of the admissibility of a TLD subject to a Rec 6 objection rests with the board alone and may not be delegated to a third party. We had unanimous support on that one. Does anybody who didn't participate in the poll want to comment on that? Just raise your hand. Okay. So we have full consensus there. Were there any edits suggested on that one? Just raise your hand if you're aware of one. And okay. Going on then to recommendation 4.2, it reads, under its authority to obtain independent expertise as stated in Article 11A of the ICANN bylaws, the board shall contract appropriate expert resources capable of providing objective advice on the applicability of principles of international law in regard to objections received through this process. Now, we only had one objection to that one, and that was from Bertrand. Has Bertrand joined us? Not yet, huh? So I was going to ask him what his view was there. Anybody else want to comment on recommendation 4.2? Yes, Alan.
Yeah, I'll just point out that the second half of this, the applicability of principles of international law, really is redundant with a later recommendation which talks about what principles, what on what basis to make a decision, and which does add in context and linguistics and things like that. So I'm wondering if we end up with a conflict because there is a somewhat wider description a little bit later on, but this one is very narrow.
Yeah, redundancy I suspect we can live with, but if there's conflict, we probably should correct it. Now, in your opinion, which is it?
What it says is redundancy. What it doesn't say is conflict. So the fact that it doesn't say primarily or something like that, but says purely principles of international law implies a conflict with the later wider scope.
And the later one said what?
Oh, I don't know if I could find it quickly. Does anyone know where it is?
Okay, well, let's do this, Alan, to save time. We're going to go through these. So when we come to that, would you remind us of 4.2 and let's decide then?
Sure.
Okay, is that all right?
Yep.
Thanks. Chuck, okay, so that one then would be consensus.
Hang on, Chuck.
Okay,
so we don't have to.
My eyes are going between about three different documents, including the screen. Go ahead, Carol.
No problem. So we don't have to loop too much, and then Evan has his hand up. Can Margie just note a potential edit would be the removal of the words referring to applicability of the principle to international law as a possibility under this. So it would then read, under its authority to obtain, blah, blah, blah. expert resources capable of providing objective advice in regard to objections received through this process. So if we see that as redundancy, they're the words that would be removed, and then it's clarified later on.
So you would, I mean, the possibility would be deleting on the applicability of principles of international law.
Because the later one picks it up, gives it far greater definition, and makes it stronger.
Okay.
But that's if the group agrees.
That's,
okay.
It's certainly what I would have, what I would have said if I had had the presence of mind.
Okay. Let's go to Evan, and then we'll talk about that. Okay, go ahead, Evan.
I guess what I thought is that when people were suggesting what to put in 4.5, would include the kind of expertise that would be needed. So maybe it's redundant with what could go into 4.5. Now I realize 4.5 doesn't have unanimous consensus, but the idea being is that it already has a number of the expert should possess this, this, and this. So maybe that stuff should just be, I have no problem with deleting it from here and just referring to the other clause we've already introduced.
Deleting what? The same thing that Cheryl was talking about?
Correct. And
oh, okay.
Relying on the fact that we've already proposed wording in 4.5 that already says this is what the experts are expected to know.
Okay. So let's come back to Cheryl. Cheryl, did you want to comment further?
No, I just didn't want us to loop around too much.
Oh, I'm sorry. You know, if I'd paid attention that it was a check mark and not your hand, I would have understood. I just saw Mark. Okay. So does anybody object to removing on the applicability of principles of international law? Now, we're not changing our position. We're just not saying that here. Did I express that properly?
As long as we ensure that it's somewhere else.
Yeah, right. And so does anybody have concerns about removing that in this recommendation only? Because since we've already done the poll, if somebody does, I would say we just leave it in and deal with a little redundancy. I don't see anybody or hear anybody objecting. Going once, twice.
Hello?
What was that?
Trying to talk.
Okay, so I think we can delete, Margie, the phrase on the applicability of principles of international law. And we're not deleting it, just to be clear, because it still doesn't rely, we're eliminating relying on principles of international law, but because it's redundant and covered later. Any questions or comments on that? Thank you very much. So that one is a consensus. All right. And what did we decide on in our final report? I don't think there's any need to show the numbers, is there? But what do people think? Our methodology isn't so precise, and we don't involve everybody. That's why I'm kind of concerned about showing the exact numbers. The four categories are a little broader, so the lack of scientific accuracy maybe is a little bit better covered in a broader category. Okay, Alan, go ahead.
Yeah, it may be worth in an appendix or something showing what the numbers are, but not in the main body.
Well, why would we show them in the appendix if we're not going to show them in the main report? I mean, it's easy to show them in the main report.
Just as backup for the development of the description.
Now, Frank, you don't think we need to show the numbers. I see your check mark.
I don't.
Anybody else want to comment on that? Aubrey, you agree not showing the numbers? Okay. Anybody else? Does anybody want to speak up in support of Alan's suggestion of showing them as an appendix?
I wasn't making a strong case for it. I was just giving an option.
Yeah, no, that's fine, and I appreciate that. Cheryl?
I certainly think it should be no numbers, and if anything is going to be appended, but I didn't think it was going to be necessary because I thought it was embodied in the text, the definitions in the new draft GMSO, PVP, guidelines would be the only thing I would put in, because it makes clear to board members who may not have had time to read, understand, digest and learn off by heart those
right.
criteria for what it is. But beyond that, no numbers.
Well said. Margie, help me out here. It's been a few days since I looked at the report. Are the definitions of the four categories in the report?
Yes, they are. I have them in a footnote.
Yes,
thank you.
In the paragraph that describes what happened.
Yeah.
That's all I needed. That's excellent. So I figured they were, and I do remember seeing them in a footnote now that you mention it. But a lot of things are blending together for me, just like probably the rest of you. All right. Going then to recommendation 4.3, and it reads, such expert advising the ICANN board are to be independent of any conflict with ICANN-affiliated bodies in accordance with other provisions in the applicant guidebook. Their advice will be limited in scope to analysis of objections based upon the criteria as expressed within this policy. And there were 13 people that supported that out of 21, which I think would be no consensus but strong support. Any comments or questions or edits on that one? Okay.
Chuck, I guess the question I had was in the first go round of this, it had pretty widespread consensus. I'd like to find out from those who have changed their minds since the previous poll what changed.
Would anyone who posed this one care to comment?
John's on the line.
John, your hand's up. Good. Go ahead.
Sure. Here are the two concerns I had with this. One, in the first sentence, I think the expert should be independent of any inappropriate conflict of interest, regardless of whether it's with an ICANN-affiliated body. So I thought that was too limiting in that it says, or to be independent of any conflict with ICANN-affiliate bodies in accordance with the provisions of the AGB.
So how would you have worded that differently, John?
Like I said, an expert. The most important thing is the expert should be independent of the the applicant or the objector, who are actually the parties to the dispute. So I guess you could broaden that, but it should be independent of any inappropriate conflict of interest. Or something like that. And then the second sentence, I think that takes in the concern that some people have with the issue that was talked to, on the list today regarding advice versus recommendation. I think that may have swept this one, where we say their advice will be limited in scope to analysis of the objections based on the criteria as expressed within this policy. So the question is, does that mean recommendation, no recommendation? Does that mean, an opinion of whether the objection is valid under that standard or not? And I suspect that's why a handful of people voted against that one as well.
Okay, thank you. I'm wondering, your point about, your first point, resonates with me. I'm guessing that we probably meant more than just conflict with ICANN-affiliated bodies. What you said, does ICANN-affiliated bodies mean any objector? I mean, we obviously would not want them to have any interest with regard to the objector, him or herself, regardless of whether they were an ICANN-affiliated body. So I wonder if we ought to fix that. Richard?
Yeah, hi, this is Richard. Yeah, I agree with both of John's points, and I don't know why we would even mention ICANN-affiliated bodies. As John said, all that matters, to my mind, is the applicant and the objector. They're the two parties with whom the expert should not have a conflict. I think any other party is irrelevant.
Now, by the way, this particular issue, I believe, is already fairly well covered in Applicant Guidebook 4. There's a conflict of interest policy that's spelled out in quite a lot of detail I don't know that we're adding anything here. It doesn't hurt to say it, though. But I think we probably ought to be, you know, it ought to be conflict a little bit broader than just ICANN-affiliated bodies. And we'll come back to the other part later. Amy, am I correct, if you are free to comment on that, that the guidebook as it stands right now really requires independence of the experts, and they can't be have interest with any of the objectors or any particular interested party. Is that a correct conclusion on my part?
Yes, Chuck. It definitely calls for independence from all of those groups.
Now, it's okay for us to state it here. Let's see if we can do a quick fix on it, or to be independent of any conflict in accordance. How about if we just say independent of any conflict with in accordance with other provisions in the applicant guidebook, and take out the with ICANN-affiliated bodies? John, let me ask you first. Does that work?
Yeah, that works for me.
Evan, go ahead.
Chuck, as the person that wrote the original, my intent with that was we were talking at the time about whether or not, you know, the GAC was going to appoint experts, or ALAC or others were going to appoint experts, and the consensus seemed to be that we were going in the other direction. So the intent of the words ICANN-affiliated was essentially to explicitly not say that the experts had to be independent of ACs or SOs and so on. That's the intent. I mean, this group may not agree with that, but that was the purpose for that wording.
Thanks. Are you okay with deleting the prepositional phrase there with ICANN-affiliated bodies?
As long as the intent is clear. I mean, I don't think this group wants stakeholders appointing experts any more than we did previously. That was my main concern when writing this. If everyone's comfortable with taking that out, doesn't introduce that again, I'm okay.
Okay, thanks. Anybody opposed to taking out the phrase with ICANN-affiliated bodies, please let us know right now. Then, Margie, we're going to take out that phrase, and this one will be a no consensus but strong support, or however the proper way is of describing. Am I saying that right? Is that exactly what the working team recommends? Is it no consensus but strong support, or strong support but no consensus? I don't know that matters.
Will the consensus change now that you've fixed the wording?
Well, I don't think we can determine that unless all all eight of the people who voted against it are on the call. So, and we really don't have time to do another poll. So, my recommendation is, at least at this point, is to call it no consensus but strong support. I think I'd like it worded the other way, but I don't know what the work team says, Margie. What exactly does the work team call it? Is it strong support but no consensus?
No, it says no consensus but strong support.
Okay, let's use what they said then, because they probably had reasons for that. Now, what I will do is I'll mark this one for coming back if we have time to try and determine that, Evan. We'll see. I don't know that we will, but we'll see. Okay.
Chuck, I was just going to say, we do have not everybody, but a significant number of those, and if we do have time, I agree, we could perhaps come back and do an online polling there.
Okay, good. Thanks. Yeah, we're thinking alike on that. Okay, recommendation 4.4 says the number of experts to be consulted, the method of their selection, and terms of their engagement are to be determined by the board subject to these policies. 20 out of 21 supported that. Bertrand opposed it. I was going to ask Bertrand if he could explain why, but I don't believe he's joined us yet. A concern just flashed into my mind as I read that. When we say subject to these policies, what policies are we talking about?
Chuck, when I wrote that, I meant policies essentially described elsewhere in these recommendations. Because that kind of thing was going to be, I mean, it seemed at the time that that was all over the place. If you want to nail that down to specific areas of the recommendation, that's fine. I didn't know that at the time.
Yeah, I'd probably rather not even refer to it for a couple. Probably my main reason is that this is not a policy development body, and the GNSO has very specific procedures for developing policy. And I don't want to get into the debate what's policy and what's not. I fully understand all that. My suggestion would be to just delete subject to these policies so it's not confusing. In other words, are to be determined by the board. Now, the board's subject to the bylaws and subject to policies and so forth, so I think we're okay there. Would anybody object if we deleted subject to these policies? Margie?
Chuck, I think you said the same thing I was going to say. The other thing I was going to suggest was subject to these recommendations if you wanted to change the word policies.
Actually, I'd much rather that, Chuck, and the reason being is because I'd like it to make it clear to the readers of the document that this whole thing is being framed of context of the other recommendations that are being made in this document.
Yeah, I'm much more comfortable with recommendations than policies there. Does anybody object to making – thanks, Cheryl, for agreeing there on the screen. So if nobody objects, we'll change policies to recommendations. Thank you, Evan, and thank you, Margie. Going on then to recommendation 4.5, the contracted advisors will be expected to have specific expertise in interpreting law instruments of public international law and relating to human rights and or civil liberties. The Community Working Group recommends that the board augment this with complementary expertise in other relevant fields such as linguistics. So this is one that we combined. I had added a 17 based on Aubrey's good input, and we combined these two together here.
Yeah, with the old 6.4.
Yeah. And now there were five people that opposed this one. Do any of those five want to comment? Raise your hand if you do. This one, I think, while you're thinking, whether you want to say something, and maybe they're not on the call. This one, I believe, then, is no consensus but strong support, or is it enough support for consensus? I don't know where
it's
the line
not
is.
Enough for consensus.
Sebastian.
Yeah, I have just one question, because we go through different time public international law, and if I remember well, in the recommendation 1.2, there was some discussion about using that or not, and that's not finalized which term we will use. And other parts of the document, it says that it will depend on what we will decide in 1.2. Is it not the case here in 4.5 and maybe before?
Let me go back. 1.2, you're referring back to recommendation 1.2?
Yes, because in some other parts, I don't remember well the number, but for example, in 3.1, but it's excluded from the poll, but it's written, or whatever term is used per recommendation 1.2.
Yeah, we didn't have on 1.2, there was quite a bit of divergence on the alternatives. The one that had strong support was objections based on the principles of order public or order public. Even though there was full consensus on the statement itself that the name of the Rec 6 objection should not be morality and public order, that part was full consensus. Any substitute that we didn't have good consensus on. So
I know, but my my question is that if you refer to recommendation 3.1 or 3.1, it's at the last line or.
Let me find 3.1. Bear with me a second here.
No problem.
Okay.
Just to be sure that I understand well, at the end it's written the principle of art public or whatever term is used per recommendation 1.2. My question is that is it not the same thing about what we are calling here public international law or I am wrong here and is that something different?
I don't know that you're necessarily wrong. I think maybe this is a little bit different usage of the term. You know, law instruments of public international law. Anybody, people have their hands up. Let me just call on some of them and see if maybe they have a suggestion. Mary?
Thanks, Chuck. And this is a similar point. And I'm not sure that I'll be answering Sebastian's question entirely, but I was going to suggest that instead of saying law instruments of public international law, we simply say instruments of international law. And then taking on board Milton's suggestion on email so that the whole phrase would say interpreting instruments of international law relating to human rights and or civil liberties. My reasons for that is I don't know that we gain anything by saying law instruments as opposed to instruments. We don't want to get into what all that means in the international law context. But also secondly, we do say international law elsewhere. And while it would be accurate to say public international law, I just feel it would be better to stick with consistency. And so I'm suggesting this particular rewording.
So you would delete the first law and just say instruments of public international law?
I would just say instruments of international law.
Oh, yeah, that's okay, so we'll give other people a chance to talk. One question for you, Mary. Is this a place where we could just say expertise in interpreting principles of international law, which is the term we've been using?
You know, I thought about that, Chuck, and I don't see why not, because first of all, we're not drafting a legal document. So one question I did have since you raised it was whether, I think it was Evan who drafted this, whether he or someone else had something else more specific in mind, because when I think about instruments of international law, obviously, I'm primarily thinking of treaties and, you know, communiques and the like. I don't know that it makes that much of a difference to answer your question, but maybe Evan or Konstantinos or someone can remind us.
Okay, let's go to Konstantinos.
Yes, I actually agree that we need to remove law instruments of public international law, the law word, and I think I circulated in an email because it just doesn't make sense. On the other side, I'm not sure whether replacing instruments with principles, and I understand where Mary is coming from for issues of compatibility, would either make sense. I mean, we cannot possibly interpret principles. We interpret the instruments through which these principles are exemplified, but the principles are there, so they cannot really be interpreted. And I understand that this is not a legal document, but I think that wording it to the best possible and legal way would be beneficial. So I am in favor of deleting law between interpreting an instrument, but I would continue to use instruments because, as Mary said, its convention is treaties, and we have actually made reference to examples of these conventions and treaties at the previous recommendation. Thank you.
So if I'm understanding you correctly, I think it's okay to delete public, isn't it? So we could just say instruments of international law is what you're suggesting?
Yes, correct.
Okay, all right. So does anybody object to just changing it to instruments of international law? Not hearing anyone or seeing any hands. So did you get that, Margie, in the first sentence? We'll delete the first occurrence of law and then the word public.
Chuck, do you remember who wrote the original 6.4?
No, I don't. If I had time, I obviously could go back and look, but I don't think we, you know.
Probably doesn't matter anyway.
I think this is probably okay what we've done here. Somebody want to, okay, Richard.
Yeah,
Yeah, hey, Chuck, sorry about that. So I understood from Mary that we're also proposing to delete phrase relating to human rights and or civil liberties. Is that not the case also?
Richard, sorry, Chuck, can I jump in? I was proposing deleting the word and. This was not so much my proposal, but I recall Milton or somebody saying that on the list, so I'm not sure if that's something we were supposed to discuss today. In which case, the new language would read, interpreting instruments of international law relating to human rights and or civil liberties.
I think that's a no-brainer, isn't it? To delete that and? Does anybody disagree with that? Alan?
I'm just not sure semantically if that says the same thing or not, and do we want to change it at this point?
Oh, I see what you're saying, Alan, yeah.
Because it can be read as expertise relating to human rights and civil liberties.
Isn't the problem the words relating to?
Well, it taking it out weakens the import of human rights and civil liberties.
Yeah. No, let me make a suggestion, see if this works. So, expertise in interpreting instruments of international law and human rights or civil liberties. So that, in other words, instruments of international law, let's see, that doesn't quite work either, does it? I see a flaw in my own suggestion, so...
Sorry,
anybody else have a suggestion? Konstantinos, did you have another one?
Yes, and I hope that this makes sense. I think that the end needs to, if we remove the word public, the end needs to stay, because if we keep the word public, public international law refers, generally speaking, to human rights. So if we remove the word public, end should stay, so it can say expertise in interpreting instruments of international law and relating... as well as relating to human rights and or civil liberties.
So what specifically was your suggestion?
If we don't want to keep and, we can put as well as.
As well as instead of what? I am sorry, I didn't follow.
And.
As well as. Well, are there instruments of international law that do relate to human rights and or civil and or civil liberties. So there's a construct there that seems to be a problem. Generally, we want them to have expertise in instruments of international law. What if we said including those related to human rights and or civil liberties? In other words, we're not asking them just to look at instruments of international law related to human rights and or civil liberties, but those should be included.
I can live with that.
So let me read it one more time. So we have expertise in interpreting instruments of international law, including those related to human rights and or civil liberties. And I see Hanne Mary.
Yeah, Chuck, I actually don't have a problem with your formulation, but I was just thinking about what I think was Alan, who said that one possible intent of this recommendation is that the expertise is not just in terms of legal interpretation of treaties, whether they be treaties relating to human rights or other aspects of international law, but that they should also have some expertise dealing with human rights cases of some sort. So it's somewhat different. Somewhat broader. If that is the case, if that's what Alan was referring to, then my suggestion was going to be simply switching the phrase, you know, relating to human rights and our civil liberties with the phrase interpreting instruments of international law. In other words, it would read specific expertise relating to human rights and our civil liberties and in interpreting instruments of international law.
That's in my opinion, seems to work. It seems to accomplish the same thing I was trying to accomplish there. If my logic is correct, is anybody opposed to Mary's formulation? And would you say that one more time, Mary?
Okay. So the rewording of 4.5, or the first sentence of 4.5, would now read, the contractor advisors will be expected to have specific expertise relating to human rights and or civil liberties and in interpreting instruments of international law, period.
Yeah, did you get that, Margie?
No, can you repeat it? Sorry, I can't write that fast.
Should I just send it to you?
Put it in the chat.
Okay.
Richard, yeah, go ahead and send it while Richard's commenting, if you can, Mary.
Okay.
Thanks, Chuck.
Richard, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. So I understand Mary's change. I guess that I would probably not vote for that on the grounds that I think we've been fairly strict about the notion that the focus of the expertise of these experts should be on principles of international law. Now we're introducing something that, whilst it's related, I guess, and many of us may consider important, it's nevertheless not specifically a component of international law per se, but rather some other qualification separate from international law.
Yeah, Richard, but it seems to me that the group for quite a while has also been suggesting that needs to include any principles of international law related to human rights and our civil liberties. So,
yeah, perhaps I'm misunderstanding it, but I interpret this, the two pieces of this now, to say that, first of all, the experts should have expertise in principles of international law, all the principles, whatever they are. I don't know how many, but presumably a subset of that is human rights, but they're presumably others. Then I read it as they should also, separate from actual sort of international legal principles, that they should have expertise specifically in human rights. Am I reading it incorrectly? If I'm not reading it incorrectly, then it seems to me that it's introducing some second category of qualification that seems to have strayed from what I thought was the core set of qualifications for these folks.
Okay, I follow you now. All right. Now, we can't spend too much time on this one here. So, Mary, can you reread your formulation? And let's test Richard's concern there.
It's in the chat window, Chuck, if you can see that.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah, I can.
And I understand Richard's point. I would say we're not introducing new things, but it does seem to spell it out more specifically than the original language did, that we really are talking about the focus on human rights in this particular instance.
I have some empathy for the point Richard's making, because the civil liberty, the way you've worded it, the human rights and civil liberties is kind of given preeminence the way it's worded. Technically, I think it's kind of the same. So if we go back to my formulation of, and not because I want it to be mine, but I think it doesn't have that same result. In other words, have specific expertise interpreting instruments of international law, including those relating to human rights, et cetera.
Right.
I don't agree with that, and I have my hand up for some time.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was looking elsewhere. Go ahead, Milton.
Yeah, I mean, what are these decisions about? They are about whether a string or an application either violates some kind of human right, such as the rights of the child, the gender, you know, all of those things, or it's about whether the free expression right is being unduly restricted. So the people, indeed, preeminence has to be given to issues of human rights and civil liberties and interpretation of instruments of international law. This is not about radio spectrum management, international law. It's not about, you know, environmental law. It's about, basically, about human rights and civil liberties.
Yeah, but it doesn't include more than that.
No, mostly. What other principles?
Well, you said mostly.
What other principles of international law are relevant here?
Well, are there excuse me for using the terms, but are there any principles of international law related to morality and public order. Carroll seemed to think there were. Now, he didn't say specific laws. He said principles of international law.
Well, under Mary's formulation, you have ands conjoining those things. You have people, I think, expert in principles of international law and specifically as they relate to human rights and civil liberties.
Yeah. Oh, okay, let's go to Alan, and then I'll make a call on this one. Go ahead, Alan.
Yeah. This is our final call, and we're trying to come to closure on this. Flipping the order and putting human rights and civil liberties first changes the tone of this, and I think putting this in at the very last moment is not appropriate. I'm quite happy with the formulation you had, or even Mary's, if we invert the order of the two. But I think putting human rights and civil liberties forefront, when it hasn't been mentioned in that context before in our previous polls, I think is inappropriate, given that not everyone is on this call.
Okay, so here's what I, and Cheryl and Frank, correct me if you think I'm going the wrong direction here, is that we definitely make the changes of deleting the first occurrence of law, we delete public, and that we come back to the rest if we have time. Okay?
No. I don't understand. Can you just read what you're proposing?
Well, in other words, Milton, the recommendation would stay as is except for the deletion of two words, law before instruments and public before international law. We had already essentially agreed to that. And we'll leave the rest the same. Not perfect, but that's what people commented on. We sounds like we have a we don't have agreement on the change of language.
Well, I thought that human rights and civil liberties was in there all along.
It was.
It is, and we're
staying in there.
So can you just read it?
Contracted advisor will be expected to have specific expertise in interpreting instruments of international law and relating to human rights and or civil liberties, period. The CWG recommends that the board augment this with complementary expertise in other relevant fields, such as linguistics, period.
Yeah. Okay, so other than that and it doesn't belong in there, which I flagged on the list.
That's what we were trying to fix, Milton. That's why we're going down this path.
Okay, so that's fine.
Okay, so if we have time, we'll come back to that and try and fix it. Okay. All right, going on to recommendation 5-1.
Chuck, hi, this is Bertrand. Just to say that I'm joining. I had a meeting that lasted a little bit longer, and I got a problem connecting. So I'm joining. I'm not on the Adobe Connect because of connectivity problems, but I'm there.
Okay, and if we have time, Bertrand, I'll come back to you on a couple recommendations we already covered, where you were the only one to oppose.
Yeah. Yeah.
If we have time, I'd like to hear from you on those. For right now, we're going to keep plugging along, okay? Thanks.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely, fine.
Okay, recommendation 5-1.
Sorry to interrupt. Back to 4.5, you never told me the consensus level for that. What is 16?
That's right. I had asked opinion. My conclusion was that it was, I mean, it's between consensus and no consensus but strong support. I suggested no consensus but strong support, but I don't know if I drew the line correctly. Does somebody want to?
That's correct. You're correct with that interpretation.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Cheryl. I appreciate that. So it's no consensus but strong support.
Thank you.
Correct.
Okay, thanks for reminding me of that. I meant to come back to that, Margie. All right, 5-1, a higher threshold of the board should be required to uphold an objection. There were 17 out of 21 for that. Is that still a no consensus but strong support, Cheryl?
Correct.
Okay, good. Any comments on that? Margie, you still have your hand up?
Sorry, that's
amazing. Okay. We all do it. But I will ask just to make sure because I can't tell. Any discussion on 5-1? Okay. Fine.
Chuck, just one comment. The reason why I was saying a no on the 5-1 is basically because I don't think it is exclusively to uphold an objection. We need to see the threshold in more general terms, and it is connected to the other 5-2 and 5-3.
Okay, so you weren't necessarily opposed to a higher threshold for upholding an objection.
No.
But I got it. Okay. That's
he wanted a higher threshold across the board.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks, Bertrand. That's helpful. And please just jump in when as appropriate, since you're not in the Adobe Connect. Recommendation 5-3 says the higher threshold should be at least 2/3, and we had 18 out of 21 there, and that was intentionally left kind of general, so wherever the higher threshold applies, it would be 2/3. Anybody that opposed that want to talk to that? Just raise your hand. Okay. Going on, and so that one, I guess, is still no consensus strong support, or are we getting into the consensus level, Cheryl?
At 18, it slips into consensus.
It's consensus?
Yep.
Okay, did they specifically define the how do we tell?
It's a proportion, and out of 21, 18 is 18 plus is it. Out of another number, it's another number.
Yeah, okay, right. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Chuck?
Yes?
This is Bertrand. Just a precision, not to change the recommendation and consensus. We haven't discussed whether it is a 2/3 of members or 2/3 of voting. The reason why I raise this is because we are confronted with a situation where, in many occurrences, the board will be potentially in a situation where some members will be abstaining from voting, depending on conflict of interest. So we have to just decide whether it is 2/3 of members or 2/3 of voting.
Yeah, I'm going to say I fully understand it, as you probably know, and there are cases where it's 2/3 of the board members present and other cases where it's 2/3 of the board, and it is an important distinction. We can come back to that if you want, but I might guess.
No, it's just to put a note.
Yeah. I'll put it down as a possible comeback if we have time. I think it's probably unlikely, and that we may just have to leave that into the hands of the board.
Just to mention that, in parentheses, the question of whether it is 2/3 of the board or 2/3 of the members voting is left open at this stage.
Yeah, it is. I understand that. So I wrote a note to come back if we can. Recommendation 5. Oh, hands, I'm sorry. Aubrey?
Yeah, I'm actually not sure that within the bylaws they get into that much with the board in terms of voting and whatever. But I think if we're saying 2/3 of the board, we're saying 2/3 of all possible votes from the board. I think that was always the notion. But I really don't think, and remember, I mean, I don't have them in front of them, and I'm sure Margie can quickly correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think they differentiate on the places where there's 2/3 voting that they say. They say 2/3 of the board. They do not say 2/3 of those voting. So, but I'm not positive.
Okay. Thanks. Maybe it's just in the GNSO where we try to make clear on that, but you may be right. Okay. Milton.
Yeah, I'm just confused by Bertrand's explanation on his vote on 5.1, and since the distinction between 17 and 18 votes seems to be important, I'm wondering if we can revisit that and just ask Bertrand whether, if it's accepted that we are talking about 2/3 majorities here, why would you... I mean, I understand that you prefer to have it across the board, but I don't understand why you would maintain a vote against 5.1 if it's clear that everybody else is in favor of 2/3 for upholding an objection. That's all.
Bertrand, is that a vote you would change?
Yeah, well, actually, going to the 5.1, it was indirectly connected with the 5.4. Basically, it is going back to the discussion that we had in earlier conference calls. The notion that in any case for upholding an objection is not exactly the definitive point. It can be depending on whether the panel, whatever it is, however it is composed, is saying that there is a problem or that there is not, and so there is a connection with 5.4. My concern with the I voted no on 5.1 and 5.4 because I think we are wording it inappropriately. It is more related, in any case, to the recommendation that is being made by the panel, as we'll see when we discuss 5.4. And I think there is an interesting notion that could be explored, which is to have a supermajority of the board to approve TLDs that have been submitted through an objection.
Okay, thank you. I think we'll leave 5.1 alone.
Yeah, yeah. Let's get to 5.4.
5.4. Alan, you have something to say before we get there?
Yeah, I put my hand up when we were talking about defining two-thirds, and I was going to caution that if one says two-thirds of the board because of people who have conflicts of interest, you may never be able to meet that. You may not have two-thirds of the board even voting. So if we're going to go back to there, we should be really, really careful with that one. But if we're not, then we'll leave it to the board.
Thanks, Alan. I'm going to have to push a little bit faster on this because we got a long ways to go. Recommendation 5.4, approval of a string should only require a simple majority of the board regardless of the input from the expert. We've got 18 out of 21, which is consensus. Any quick comments, and I do ask you to be brief if you have one, or any edits, okay? All right.
Bertrand,
moving right on.
Chuck?
Yes?
Bertrand, a quick explanation. I voted no on the 5.4 because if the panel of experts do consider or does consider that there is basically a string that is contrary to international law principles, I would not see a situation where the string would have a simple majority of the board approving the string and overturning the recommendation.
Thank you. And we did, you know, I raised the point of those kind of distinctions at one point, but it didn't go very far. But I understand what you're saying. Margie?
I'm just confirming, on 5.4, we're calling that consensus, right?
Yes.
Yep. Okay, thank you.
Cheryl's our expert decision maker on that.
Avery?
that's right, Aubrey can too, huh? Well, Aubrey, if Cheryl does it wrong, please set her straight, okay?
I put my hand up, but not about that at all.
Okay, go ahead, Aubrey.
I would have chirped in otherwise if I thought so. This is
well,
where on Bertrand's point. Is
just a second, Bertrand. Let Aubrey
go
on your next.
Yeah, I was actually responding on Bertrand's point. And this is something that has had me somewhat confused in all of our discussions, and I've talked about it, is I believe what the board is presented with, and I think we've got unclarity in our language, which makes 5.4 a problem for Bertrand, and forgive me if I'm simplifying or getting it wrong, in that what the board is faced with at this point is not approval of a string. The board is presented with an objection to a string, which they either uphold or they deny.
Mm-hmm.
The board then gets it, whether the group is recommending that string or not, what the board says is there objection? We've heard the comments, we've heard the analysis, whether we have a recommendation or not is beside the point. We've heard the analysis on this string. Do we uphold the objection to the string? If we do, the string is out. That's the two-thirds. Otherwise, there's really nothing. The board is not going to approve a string until the end of the whole process, where not only these objections, but any other objections and any appeals, and all the other crux that one has to go through in an application has been gone through. That is where I think we're saying that there is approval of a string is a majority thing, whereas I truly believe that at this point all we're talking about is the objection of a string and the board either upholding that by two-thirds or not. And so there is no approval of a string at this point.
Okay. Thank you, Arv. Let's go to recommendation 7-1, and I'll read it quickly. This criterion should be retained but rephrased as follows. This is the incitement to discrimination, right? Incitement to an instigation of discrimination based upon race, age, color, disability, gender, actual or perceived sexual orientation or gender identity, political or other opinion, ethnicity, religion, or national origin. There were 19 out of 21, so that's a consensus position. Does anybody who opposed that want to say make a brief comment? Okay, so that one is consensus. Going on then to recommend a statement, excuse me, statement 8-3, the current language for incitement states, incitement to or promotion of violent lawless action, incitement to or promotion of discrimination based on race, color. This is a long one, isn't it? And let me just jump to the new proposed language, if that's okay, which would read incitement and instigation to violent lawless action, incitement and instigation to discrimination based upon it, so on, incitement and including the previous recommendation, right? Incitement and instigation to child pornography or other sexual abuse of children. So there was 19 out of 21 in support of that change of the language, which would be a consensus position, and I have a bunch of hands up. Let's start with Margie.
I was just wondering if we should change it from statement to recommendation. I don't remember why I was using the language earlier, but it was
I think you're right. Go ahead and change it to recommendation. Thanks. And let's go to Sebastian.
Yeah, I was wondering why in the second point the discrimination based upon it's not the same that it's in 7.1, because we are missing some, and I was wondering why it's not the same list.
I'm sorry, the second one, the incitement and instigation to discrimination?
Yes, based upon there is six items in the 7.1. It's there are two or three additional one, and I don't know why it's not here.
Well, it just has a dot, 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 which was supposed to be filled in with the rest of that. Is that what you're getting at?
No. It's not my point. My point is that the dot, dot, dot refer to what it's on the page previously on the 8.3, but my question is why is 8.3 is not the same list than it's 7.1?
Because we added some to 7.1 and forgot to add them to 8.3.
It's why I am asking the question, Alan.
and that was what my little side added comment was, including what we just did on the previous recommendation on 7.1. But you're correct. In other words, 7.1 would tie into 8.3.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. Good question to raise, Mary.
Yes. Thanks, Chuck. And this is a follow up from Margie's and Sebastian's comments, I guess, because my first comment was, it probably should be a recommendation, as Margie said. In which case do we want to, instead of saying the new proposed language could read, that we would say should read?
I think that's correct. Yeah.
And then my second comment is really short. Is Madam Conformity striking again? If we say incitement to an instigation of in 7.1, I think it was, then our new proposed language here should probably also read incitement to an instigation of.
I agree. Should match.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't think anybody's going to disagree with that. Good catch. Appreciate that. For the check marks on the screen? Okay. Thanks, Murray. That's very helpful. Anything else on 8.2?
Yeah, Bertrand, just very quickly. The strengthening of instigation, can somebody give me an example of the distinction between something that would be just incitement and something that would be incitement and instigation?
Can anybody do that quickly? I know there was quite a bit of discussion on this on the list that, a few days ago. Anybody want to jump in? In fact, let me ask this for time's sake. Can someone please, would someone volunteer to try and answer Bertrand's question? It's a good, fair question, and it'd be helpful to answer it. Are there some on the list that participated in that discussion that would be willing to do that on the list for Bertrand?
Yeah, on the list, and anyway, I will only be able to do that tomorrow because I don't have connectivity in this hotel room. But
or I guess in the chat, if you you don't have that either. So.
No.
That doesn't work. I'm sorry. So
later on,
get a volunteer to do that. Somebody that was involved in that discussion. Rephrase your question, Bertrand.
The key question is that I understand that it is an attempt at strengthening the criteria. I'm not absolutely sure that I understand what it would impact and what kind of strength would be acceptable if we had only incitement and would not be acceptable if we had incitement and instigation. I wonder if it's just an artificial distinction.
Well, and of course, there's another element of it, too. We're not using the word promotion anymore, either.
Mm.
So it's instigation instead of promotion as well.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, let's put it on the list.
I can't remember the gist of it. Milton.
Yes, maybe Constantino should answer this. But basically, instigation is better than promotion because promotion, in many forms of expression law, you can, for example, believe in and express your support for certain ideas that would be illegal if you acted them out. And there's a very important distinction, therefore, between promoting something and instigating it. For example, you can say, I'm a communist, I believe in workers' revolution, and that's perfectly legal in the United States to say that the workers should overthrow the ruling class, blah, blah, blah. But if you go out and instigate a riot in which workers actually start breaking windows and doing things, then you are actionable, and there's an important distinction there.
Thanks.
And why would that be different from incitement?
There's a legal distinction between incitement and
promotion.
Maybe was Constantino still on? Maybe he wants to get into
still on. Instigation always carries a negative meaning with it, whilst incitement does not. So if an act is both to incite and instigate, it will definitely fall within the category that we are discussing right now. While a simple string, and this whole discussion started on that basis, does not, incitement does not have real action, while incitement and instigation is both. Am I making myself
okay.
clear?
Okay. I can change my vote to yes.
Oh, okay, so that becomes a 20 out of 20.
Whoa.
It's still consensus, so.
Yeah.
But thanks, I appreciate that. Margie, are you okay on, I guess there's no changes there. Oh, yeah, there were the two changes, incitement to and instigation of in each of the three items. You got that?
Yeah, I got that.
And Sebastian, did you still have your hand up? Intentionally? I guess not. Okay. Let's go to number 9. I'm going to push a little bit faster.
Chuck, with regard to the wording, you also said that the missing items from 7.1 should be added to the second bullet of 8.3.
Yeah. Got that, Margie? Thanks, Alan.
Okay.
Did you get that, Margie?
No, can you repeat that? Sorry.
In the second one where we have the dot, 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 we should fill that in and fill it in with our what we recommended in 7. Was it 7?
Yeah, 7.1.
Yeah, okay.
That's right.
Yeah, okay. Going to 9-1, the experts should conduct their analysis primarily on the basis of the string itself only. They may, however, if reasonably appropriate for a particular objection, take into account additional context based on information in the TLD application and rendering their advice to the board. 15 out of 21 supported that, which would make it a no consensus but strong support. And I'm going to jump ahead to recommendation 9-2, which says the DRSP should conduct its analysis on the basis of the string itself only. 6 out of 21, so there was definitely divergence on 9-2. And now real quick comments, if anybody has any on that. We're not going to have time to wordsmith this unless it's really critical.
Chuck, just one suggestion from Bertrand. I think primarily and only in 9-1 are redundant. It should say primarily on the basis of the string itself. If we adopt 9-1, it has both. So the string and the context, so only is excessive.
Yeah. Anybody have an objection to deleting only?
Nope.
Okay. So why don't we do that, and let's go to Evan.
Just noting that we still have DRSP language in there. I'll just
and
stop
I thought,
at that.
Mm-hmm. I thought we got rid of that.
Yeah. Yeah, so the experts instead of DRSP.
Yeah.
Okay. Got that, Margie?
Yeah, I have it.
Okay, thanks for catching that. Appreciate that. Anything else on 9? Going on to 10. 10-1 is had 21 out of 21 support. It was full consensus. The REC 6 Community Working Group hopes that, by the way, that should be CWG, not CWB. Hopes that the mechanisms it proposes in this report will help limit blocking of whole TLDs at the national level. Blocking of TLDs should remain acceptable and be established by due legal process. The group also recognized that reduced blocking of TLDs is of little value if the result is that the opportunity to create new TLDs is unduly constrained by an objection process. The absence of blocking is of little value if it creates a namespace that does not reflect the true diversity of ideas, cultures, and views on the Internet. There was unanimous support in the poll on that. Any brief comments? So we have full consensus on that one. Moving
Chuck, it's Alan. That one should remain a statement, 10.21, I think, not recommendations.
Statement. Yeah, and it says
it is. Statement.
And it does say statement, so thank you for pointing that out. That's, it's good to make sure we got that right. Thanks. 11-1, the recommendation 6 community working group proposes modifications to the is this the really long one? Yeah, I don't want to read that whole thing. So I apologize for Bertrand, who's not on the Adobe Connect, but it'd take too long. It's a page long.
I have the text on the I have the.
Okay, so you have
text
good.
On paper.
Good. That makes me feel better. Okay, it actually goes over a page long. Now, that one is 11 out of 21 supported it, which I assume that's, I'm not sure. Is that, Cheryl and Aubrey, help me out. Is that no consensus, strong support, or is it divergent?
Bordering on divergence, in my view, Avery.
Yeah.
So it's divergence?
Chuck, is it possible, this may be too late in the game, but is it possible? I mean, as you just said, the thing is so long. If it was broken up into component chunks, would we be able to find what people agreed on and what they didn't?
We might be able to, but you're right. It's too late in the process to do that, because keep in mind the board retreat is the end of this week, and we really need to get this report to them with a few days advance, this
Chuck?
Version. Okay?
Yeah, Chuck, this is Bertrand. Just a quick input. I think one of the reasons why there is mixed feelings about this is, as Ivan said, because it's very long. And so there are bits and pieces that we agree upon and not necessarily. This is about a very important element, which is the role of the independent objector. I don't think we have completely finalized this, so I suggest that on this, it is the current state of the discussion, and it should mention that the group has not completely agreed on that. Rather than divergence, the text is not finalized. For your information, my sense is that the board will not finalize things now, and this thing related to the independent objector is clearly one thing that needs to be explored further and might even go down the road up to Cartagena to be finalized in ultimate time. So I would suggest that instead of rating it as consensus, non-consensus, and so on, we say this is the current state of the discussion, and we have not finalized this yet.
Does anybody object to stating that on this one? And let me call on Sebastian and Milton, and then I'll come back to that question. Sebastian?
Yeah, I just wanted to ask if on this recommendation on line 2 section, it's written section 3.1.5, it's maybe better to write of the DAG version 4, because mm-hmm. we don't know what section, if we look to the document, where it's coming from, this section.
Mm. Yeah, the source document. Can you add that, Mark?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
It refers in the first sentence to section 3.1.5. Let's put the source document that section is a part of. Okay. Independent objective. I think it's isn't it applicant mm-hmm. guidebook version 4?
Yeah.
So let's just say that, you know, section 3.1.5 of AGB 4.
Oh,
got
okay,
it?
Got it. Yeah.
Good. Thanks, Sebastian. Milton?
Yeah, just to say that the people who voted against this need to put...
Are you still there, Milton?
I'm sorry, somebody is making noise. There's been a turnaround here. This was a point that was extended by census. Now the people have turned around, so I just want to hear why, and particularly, is it the issue of initiating objections or not? I think the important thing about 11.1 is that we didn't want the independent objector to be initiating objections, and whether these, you know, if people disagree on that issue, that's important. If they're disagreeing or about minor language issues in that long list, that's a different matter. So I want to hear from the people who have little red marks here what's going on.
Yeah, unfortunately, because it's so long, we're not going to have time to delve into that in a lot of detail. I'll have a suggestion in just a minute. I think maybe Bertrand may be onto something there, but let me let Aubrey talk first.
Yeah, hi. I was going to actually address Bertrand's point. I would think that in any place that we've got divergence, what we are saying is that is the point we are at now, and further mm-hmm. conversation mm-hmm. might move us, you know, more towards agreement. So I would recommend that just, you know, we talked about explaining our comments, you know, the consensus, full consensus, some support, divergence, that we indicate under the general discussion of divergence, is that any issue that was marked with the divergence, you know, category might, you know, benefit from further discussion.
Yeah. Yeah, and maybe we should make that general point with regard to divergence, Margie, maybe when a little note or something with regard to the definition as it applies to this particular group. But it seems to me that it's especially applicable in this one because it's not some minority support. We actually had a little over half of the group supported
mm-hmm.
it. And so I wonder if it would be good to say, actually give numbers in this case and say 11 out of 21 of the group supported this, but and the group really needed more time, especially needed more time on this one. Would that anybody object to that kind of a comment on this one? I mean, we've had some at 6 out of 21 and even lower than that, I think, in some cases. But in this case, you know, there was a little over a simple majority of people supported it. at the same time, it's still, if we just classified it as divergent, it fits in with those others where there was really minority support. I see one hand up, Margie.
I think it's it would be problematic to have a number just here and nowhere else. I mean, if you want to convey the concept, maybe the way to do it is to just say more than a simple majority were in support of it or something, something that kind of quantifies it without actually putting the number down.
I'm okay with doing it that way. That's good, and I think that this one is a complicated one because of its length and so forth, and we probably, like Evan said, if we were able to break it down, we could probably do a little bit better, but there's not time for that. So on this one, if you would, you got the gist of the comment then, and what you just said was fine.
Okay.
Okay?
Chuck, this is Bertrand. Just quickly, I think Milton put his finger right on the most delicate element of this paragraph. I would slightly disagree with Avery. I think there are a certain number of items where we do have a divergence, which is very low support for the recommendation. Here, I think it is really split within the group, and some people, including me, who voted against, basically voted against because I feel it is not refined enough, whereas in other cases I really voted against because I didn't agree with it. So it is a slightly different one, and Milton is right to say that there is probably a key question on whether the independent objector can only act if he or she is triggered by somebody else, or if he can or not act on his own. And I don't think we've discussed that enough. So he's right in saying that's the main...
Yeah, this is one we really could have used more time on, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I'm sure the working team for the working group model and the policy process, the PPSC, I can only spit out the acronym right now, they probably have discussed this quite a bit. But this, Cheryl and Avery, you might want to go back to them and just use as an example the situation we ran into, but we don't have time to talk about that more now. Let's go to 11.2. If requested in writing by the GAC or ALAC, the independent objector will prepare and submit a relevant objection. The independent objector will liaise with the GAC or ALAC in drafting such an objection. Any objection initiated from a GAC or ALAC request will go through exactly the same process as an objection from any other source, and must meet exactly the same standard for success as an objection from any other source. And we had 20 out of 21, which is a consensus conclusion. Philip objected. Philip hasn't joined us, right? Any quick comments, questions, edits on this?
Bertrand, just quickly, I think exactly is excessive. Must meet the same standards would be enough.
Last sentence, any objection initiated from a GAC or ALAC request will go through the same process. It's probably the same. Yeah, it's redundant. It's unnecessary, isn't it? Unless anybody objects, let's delete the word exactly in that last sentence. Thank you. I'm not seeing any objections. Plugging ahead to 12.1. Okay, Richard?
Yeah, just a small note here. I don't think it was Philip that objected to that one.
Did I look at it wrong? I did that just before the call, so who was it?
It was the gentleman just below Philip there, Siva.
Oh, okay, thanks. Thanks for pointing that out. My mistake. I did that very quickly before the call started, okay? So, because I had just gotten online. Going to 12.1. Applicants should be encouraged to attempt to identify possible sensitivities before applying, and where possible, try to consult with interested parties that might be concerned about those sensitivities to see how serious the concerns are and to possibly mitigate them in advance. We had 17 out of 21, which is no consensus but strong support. I suggest we just kind of leave that one alone and move on. It might be a nicety or something if they did it. I think there are other issues that we'd be better spending our time on, so if nobody minds, we'll just jump right on.
Chuck, this is Bertrand. Just one comment the same way as before. I think attempt is excessive or unnecessary. Should be encouraged to identify is enough.
I'm sorry, which word?
First line, applicants should be encouraged to identify possible sensitivities instead of attempt to identify, which is redundant.
Anybody object to that? I'm okay with that. Okay. All
right. Can you repeat that? Sorry, I missed it.
In the first line, applicants should be encouraged to identify. In other words, delete attempt to identify. Attempt to are the two words that are deleted. So it reads, applicant should be encouraged to identify.
Got it.
Thanks. Yeah, keep us. Make sure you get what we said. Thanks, Margie. Recommendation 12.2, the dispute resolution process for recommendation 6, objections should be resolved sooner in the process to minimize costs. Everybody supported that. I suggest we just move on from that one unless somebody really needs to say something. Recommendation 12.3, applicants should be informed of recommendation 6 complaints as early as possible to allow applicants to decide whether they want to pursue the string. Again, there was unanimous support. Doesn't seem to be too controversial, so unless somebody jumps up and down in Adobe, I will move on. We go then to recommendation 14.1. In addition to or instead of an objection based on general principles of international law, note or whatever title is chosen for recommendation 1.2, ICANN, GAC, and at-large advisory committees or their individual governments, in the case of the GAC, have the possibility to use the community objection procedure as currently specified in Applicant Guidebook Version 4. A community objection can be filed if there is substantial opposition to the GTLD application from a significant portion of the community to which the GTLD string may be explicitly or implicitly targeted. We had 17 out of 21 support that, which would be a no consensus but strong support. Does anybody – Richard's got his hand up. Go ahead, Richard.
Yeah, thanks, Chuck. This is Richard. So this is a very similar recommendation to 2.5. And at 2.5, I think we had consensus. I think the difference with this one and the reason perhaps that people didn't vote for this, those that didn't, was two reasons. The title of the recommendation includes the word expanded, and I think that's inappropriately there. The wording of this recommendation 14 doesn't expand anything. So I think we should delete the word expanded from the title and just make it use of community objection. And then I think the second thing that people may have objected to, in the very first sentence, it says, in addition to or instead of. I think some people object to, I know some people like Milton objected to the notion of in addition to. That implied that you put both a community objection and a recommendation 6. And on the email list, at least, I think we agreed that, yeah, this wouldn't be something that you'd do it in addition to, that you would probably do it instead of. So my suggestion is that we remove the word expanded from the title and that we remove the phrase in addition to. If we did that, I suspect that we'd get the same vote for this one that we got for 2.5.
And would you leave or instead of there? You said delete in addition to, and it goes on to say or instead of. Are you deleting both of those or just the in addition to?
Well, I think to be consistent with the point that Milton Nutter's made, we would want to leave the word instead of. Otherwise, it would imply that you do both.
Milton.
Just to agree with what Richard said and just to make it clear that I would alter my vote if the changes suggested were made.
So you would vote in favor of this if those changes were made? Is that what I understood?
Yes.
Thanks.
Same here, Chuck.
So it's actually 19 out of 21. Okay, so regardless, it would be consensus instead of. Now, does anybody oppose those changes?
Chuck, this is Bertrand. To go further in that direction, I support the suppression of expanded. I would replace recommendation by statement because actually this is just a reiteration of what Courtpritz said during the conference call. And instead of the sentence that begins with in addition to or instead of an objection, da 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 da, replacing the end of the page 8 by the working group recalls or reminds that, and ICANN-GAC and ALAC, in the case, have the possibility to use the community objection, because as Richard was saying, it's not an expansion, it's just a reminder. So it's a statement, and the working group just recalls that the GAC and ALAC have the possibility to use this.
Okay, now, I didn't get the change you were suggesting, Bertrand. Help me on that one. Please.
Changing recommendation by statement.
Okay, you're okay with that? You're okay with changing it to statement?
Yes, I'm suggesting to change it to statement.
Okay, all right. So statement, and that's the change you're recommending.
Yeah, and the second thing is, instead of the beginning of the sentence, which is, in addition to or instead of an objection based on general principles of international law or whatever title is chosen, recommendation 1-2, suppress this thing and says the working group recalls that ICANN-GAC and at large have the possibility to do this and that, because it's just a reminder that this is already in the deck.
So we could say the working group notes that... And then could we just continue it instead of so on?
And it goes directly to the beginning of the next page. The working group notes that ICANN-GAC and at large and individual governments, actually their individual governments is not appropriate, but and individual governments have the possibility to use the community objection.
Any objections to that?
Didn't we already add the, in 2.5, say governments could, and we don't need to rephrase that here? Doesn't hurt, I guess.
Yeah, probably not.
No.
Margie, do you have that? Milton, did you have something else to say?
No, sorry.
That's okay. Margie, do you have that?
Let me repeat what I understand. Okay, so we're changing recommendation to statement.
Yep.
And then we're stating
expanded in the title.
And deleting expanded in the title, and then it reads, the working group notes that instead of an
No, Marjorie. The working group notes that, and you jumped immediately to the top of page 9, the working group notes that ICANN-GAC and ALAC and individual governments have the possibility to use the community objection.
Okay, got it.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Mark?
Thanks for the confirmation there, Evan, on the screen. Appreciate that. Any other things on 14.1? Okay. 14.2.
And so I'm calling that one consensus, right, Chuck?
Yes. In fact, it was even stronger consensus than we had at the beginning, so.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still consensus. Recommendation 14.2. The working group recommends that the fees for community objections by the GAC or the at-large committees be lowered or removed. There was unanimous support on that. Anything else on that one? Recommendation 14.3, ICANN should consider looking into a slight lowering of this threshold for objections from the GAC or at-large advisory committees. Staff should explore ways to reasonably lower the required standard for a successful at-large or GAC advisory committee objection in the areas of standing 3.1.2.4, level of community opposition 3.4.4, or likelihood of detriment 3.4.4. And we only had 8 people support that, so that's definitely a divergence one. Anything on that? Okay. Going to a recommendation 15.1. The current language of Criterion 4 should be revised to read, quote, a determination that an applied for GTLD string would be contrary to specific principles of international law as reflected in relevant international treaties. That was unanimous support. Konstantinos.
Yes, sorry, Chuck. I would very quickly take you back. I think that recommendation 40.1, which was turned into a statement, after the changes that Richard suggested in the new language, has unanimous support now.
I'm sorry, that what?
14.1 has unanimous support after the changes in the new language that was inserted.
Well, let's check. Okay, that's interesting. I had gotten it up to 19 out of 21. Did you also? Let's see. Let me get it in front of me. So we're talking. Hold on. I need to scroll down.
Yes, sorry, we wrote it on the chat, but I've changed also my vote according to the new, after the new language, and I think that Robin and Milton and Evan expressed the same.
Okay, Robin, Milton, Constantinos, Evan. Okay, so I think you're right. Thank you. So, Margie, thanks for catching that. On 14-1 with the changes, we now have full consensus.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Constantinos, for catching that. Jumping back to, and I'm glad you, very glad you did that, 15-1, there was unanimous support for that, a rewording of Criterion 4. Any discussion on that, Constantinos? Or was that your hand from before?
Sorry, my hand from before.
Okay. Alan?
Yeah, I wasn't here for the original discussion on this, so I may be missing something, but the only criterion for in the guidebook is the prioritization of community applications. And I don't see the relevance of this particular phrase, so I think it should say exactly what it's replacing instead of simply saying what's an unspecified thing is revised to.
Okay, and criterion, remember that there were four criterions for objections. The three we already dealt with, right, the incitement and instigation, those three, and then there was the fourth one. But I think you're right. It would be much clearer if the language that's in the current applicant guidebook was quoted and then recommend that it be changed to that.
Okay. There is only one thing that's a capitalized criterion for in the applicant guidebook, and it's not that. So we should get the reference correct.
Good point. You got that, Margie?
Yeah, I got it.
Good. Okay, thanks, Alan. That's a good catch. We go then to the last one, recommendation 16-1.
Chuck, just one element. Sorry, on 15. Oh yeah, sorry. You're dealing 15-1. Sorry, I thought you was. You're
okay,
still
you okay?
15-1.
Yeah, go ahead.
Just on 15-1 at the end. Relevant international treaties might be a little bit restrictive. It should be at least international treaties or agreements, because it can be international agreements that do not have the value of a treaty. But my concern is that there are principles of international law that are not necessarily embedded into treaties, but that would be relevant to that sort of thing. So in any case, at least relevant international treaties or agreement, which is a formulation that I think we've used before.
Yeah, and I'm sure you know that a lot better than I do. Constantinos, did you want to comment on that?
Yes, just for issues of compatibility with the previous language, we can use instead of international treaties, international law instruments.
Yes.
So just say international instruments of law?
International instruments of law, yes.
Okay. Got that, Margie?
Yes, I have it.
Thank you. Good catch.
So I'm doing that instead of treaties, right? So it'll just say...
Right. Instead of international treaties, right.
Got it.
Okay. Thank you, Bertrand and Constantinos. Recommendation 16-1. The Recommendation 6 Working Group recommends that the ICANN new GTLD implementation team form a Recommendation 6 Community Implementation Support Team to provide input to ICANN implementation staff as they further refine implementation details for Recommendation 6. 14 out of 21 is a no consensus but strong support. I don't know, I think we'd be better off spending time discussing other things that we need to discuss than spending a lot of time on this, but if somebody has a brief comment, if nobody does, we'll just call this one no consensus but strong support. Looking at my agenda and my watch, okay. Thanks. We made it through those pretty well. And there's a few we're going to try to go back to, but there's a few other things that we need to cover first. Are there any additional edits to the report other than the recommendation issues that we've been dealing with? Okay. I heard somebody groan.
Oh, that was my minor sidechuck. I was just going to ask, now that Bertrand is on the call, if it's worthwhile coming back to his opposition to 4.2.
Well, I'll try and do that if we have time here. So thanks. But before we do that, I want to cover these other things to make sure we get through the agenda and then go back to those things. Okay.
Chuck, it's Margie. I have my hand up.
Oh, go ahead, Margie.
You had questions regarding the report. The one question I wanted to pose for the group was, what are we calling the report? I called it just report, but it kind of begs the question of, if we're going to do public comment, is there going to be a final report or after that? And if we are going to do that, then maybe I call this an initial report. So if you guys could give me guidance on what you want to call this report that I'll issue tomorrow.
My recommendation is that we call it a report, and just like you've done. Does anybody object to that?
No.
And then we don't need to get into a debate whether it's final or anything else. Now, what do we call the one we sent them already?
Status report.
Status report. So this one will not be a status report. This will be a report. Okay? And we should say this replaces the status report that was given. Okay?
Okay.
Thanks. Okay, anything else on the report? Okay, going to item four, it's just an encouragement on my part that all of you that are members of the GAC or the ALAC or the GNSO, anything you can do to facilitate timely comments on this report would be much appreciated. Keep in mind that the report requests comments from the GAC, from the ALAC, and the GNSO specifically. And now I've already put it on an agenda for the next GNSO meeting as soon as the report's done, we will forward it to the GNSO and to the chairs of the GAC and the ALAC and so forth. So, but anything any of you can do to facilitate comment and serve as resources to help that process, not only advocating your viewpoints, but some of the discussion that went on in the group would be greatly appreciated. Cheryl.
Just to let you know that at last week's executive committee meeting of the ALAC, it was put on our vote for confirmation list, pending the fact that we could put in a report that was final, not a status update one. So it'll be, as soon as it's ready, as on tomorrow, it'll go out for a 5-day vote, and by the 28th, which is our full ALAC meeting, it should be, in fact, an endorsed report by the ALAC.
Thank you. I wish we were as fast as you. So you're putting us to shame, Cheryl. So that's
I have
okay.
No problem with that.
We don't have as many rules as the GNSO.
Okay.
Hey, I'm happy to put you to shame. Don't get me wrong.
I know you are. And I want you to enjoy it.
Oh, and I do.
Okay, item five, just some action items to make sure, and we can add to this or correct them, but make sure we know what the actions are. It's going to be an action item for staff to deliver the report to the board and the new GTLD implementation team, correct? And
yes.
I put staff because, you know, I don't know if David will send it or what, but I just put the staff team to take care of that.
Happy to do so, Chuck.
Thank you, David.
Yay, David.
the co-chairs, it'll be our responsibility to send the report to our respective groups. So, you know, I'll get it to the GNSO, Cheryl to the ALAC, and Frank, you'll get it to the GAC. Is that okay? Or you can send it to Cheryl to Heather and ask her to do it. However works best for you, Frank. Okay.
And just for the record, because it's going to public comment, it'll be going to ALAC and the wider at large.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Chuck, just a note, Frank here, that it's sending it to the GAC. Yes, no guarantees at all about when any approval or comment on it is likely to arrive, of course.
I didn't understand that, Frank. Run it by me again, please.
Given that we don't have a voting procedure online and no executive, there won't be explicit approval of the GAC. There may well be independent comment from GAC members.
That's fine. It may be that way in the GNSO, too. I can't tell until I get a sense of the council members in that regard. So don't worry about that, but it would be very helpful if there's comments coming from the GAC. And frankly, comments can come from separate governments, or in the case of the GNSO, if maybe more appropriate for the comments to come from different stakeholder groups or constituencies. That's one of the things we're going to discuss, because on one like this, it may be difficult to get a total council a comment or whatever. But just so there's comments coming from your organization, however that happens, I think it would be very helpful. The last thing that Cheryl just mentioned, as staff will have the responsibility of posting the report for public comment period. I guess a 30-day I don't have any strong opinions on this, but I would think a 30-day comment period would be appropriate. I'm actually okay with staff deciding that, unless somebody thinks differently on this call. All right. Now, my last agenda item, and we're going to go back to those other items now, but I do, so we'll probably run out of time next, so on the next issue. So I want to really thank everyone for the tremendous amount of time and constructive input that has happened and in this group. So great job. Now what I want to do is jump back to the items that we wanted to come back to. First of all, Bertrand, there were, and I need to find where they are, just a second, and I'm going to need to ask you to be really brief, but if you can in a sentence or two respond, that would be helpful. On 4.2, which was under its authority to obtain independent expertise, as stated in Article 11A of the ICANN bylaws, the board shall contract appropriate expert resources capable of providing objective. Now, we made a change in it, so stay with me.
Okay.
Providing objective advice in regard to objections received through this process. We deleted on the applicability of principles of international law because we thought it was covered elsewhere.
Now,
you voted against that one, and you were the only one, so can you explain why?
This is why I absolutely wanted to be on the call. The main concern I have with the formulation the way it is today is that we've gone completely on the extreme from a situation where before we had basically an independent body external to ICANN that we feared would be imposing its appreciation on the ICANN board. Now we're in a situation where, according to the current formulation of paragraph 4.2, recommendations 4.2, the board is basically at liberty to choose and pick the experts that will be composing the independent expert panel. So in as much as we believe that the experts will be feeling independent afterwards, the composition of the team is a very important one, and I don't think it is appropriate to leave the board with the task of choosing the experts themselves. So something has to be done so as to incorporate the discussion we had about, one, having an entity that is a dispute resolution provider, maybe, to provide the procedure, but also having something that is more independent in terms of the selection of experts. I know this asks the question of who is going to select the experts, but I'm just a little bit worried about having the board having to select the experts and being basically a judge in determining who the experts are.
And
that's the reason for my vote no.
Thanks. No, I appreciate you doing that. And we're not going to have time to have discussion on this, but just one quick response on my part. I mean, my guess is it's going to be staff that picks the experts or the expert service provider is probably more likely if what's in DAG 4 is the pattern that's followed. But obviously, if they enter into an agreement with somebody, I assume the board plays in that. But we don't have time to discuss that right now, but I do appreciate you doing that. Now, we also were going to try to come back to 4.3.
Excuse me, Chuck, I really want to have this noted. It's not just a minor objection. It is a very important principle of whether it is the board which selects the experts or not. Staff or not staff, I don't think staff is an appropriate mechanism. The selection of experts should not be through or by the board. It is creating a feedback loop that I think is wrong. I'm willing to discuss that further.
But you think who
should
select the experts?
I do not know. But this is the problem. We were discussing the ICC as a provider of expertise. We may have concerns with the ICC arbitration court for the selection of the experts as an entity. But the notion that there's an entity that selects the experts in an independent manner is something that I think we shouldn't dish so quickly, because putting the burden on the board is really making it delicate.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, no, that's. Would you do this for me, please? Would you put that
yep.
concern in writing so that Margie can add that to the report? Now, she'll need that. If you can get it out tonight, that would be much appreciated.
Well, I have to go down to the business center, and I'll do that.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Chuck, we have time. This is Richard. Do we have time for me to make a quick comment there?
Sure, as long as it's very quick.
So does Article 11A of the bylaws, is it quite specific about the methodology of picking experts, or is it sort of a broad thing? I don't know that bylaw.
I'd have to look it up myself. Anybody comment very quickly, because we were within just 5 minutes of our deadline, and there's a couple other issues to cover.
I'm assuming it's a fairly broad thing. I guess I'm interpreting this one differently. So, Bertrand, I don't think this is tying the hands of the board in terms of how they must select people themselves. I think that isn't what it says to me. It just says that they have to contract. My reading is that they could use any other mechanism, including staff or any other entity that they wanted to actually select the expert advisors. But
yeah.
That's just the way that I'm reading it.
Yeah, I kind of read it that way too. But it's still fine for Bertrand to add his comment. And of course, the board or the implementation team can always come back to us. Our list won't disappear too quickly. And we could, if they need some clarity, we could talk about some things like that. 4.3, we're going to try to come back to it. With such experts advising the ICANN board are to be independent of any conflict in accordance with other provisions in the applicant guidebook. Their advice will be limited in scope to analysis of objections based upon the criteria as in this policy. Once again, we probably should change, would say within these recommendations, I think, instead of this policy. I didn't catch that one there. You got that, Margie?
Yes, I do.
Okay. I don't know. I don't think we have much time to do much more with that. My recommendation, unless somebody really feels strongly, is that we, with that last change that I just suggested, that we just leave that for now. It was a no consensus, strong support one. And then Bertrand on 4.4.
That was the one where we did have enough people, I thought, on the call to make a difference.
Oh, okay.
If you wanted to re-poll it.
Thank you. I forgot that, Cheryl. Is there anybody who voted against 4.3 that would change their vote based on the slight changes that we made?
That would be John, Richard. My eyes aren't working. I think that's about it. Only John or Richard. It's not going to make enough of a difference now.
Okay. All right.
Marilyn's not in the call. Steve's not in the call.
I wasn't that detailed in my notes.
Yep. Leave it as is.
Very quickly, recommendation 4.4 was the number of experts to be consulted, the method of their selection, and terms of their engagement are to be determined by the board subject to these recommendations. Bertrand, you voted against that. I'm guessing
same
for yourself. It's for the same reason you just stated.
Exactly. I think there is. It is important that the procedure is being established so that in that mechanism, maybe we could set up a panel ex ante, just like we have a. We intend to establish a geographic panel or so. Maybe we could set up a panel once and for all, for instance, for the duration of the first round.
Yeah.
But I'm worried that the mechanism seems to imply that on an ad hoc basis, the board is going to set up a panel according to handle one specific string, which is a big problem.
So, Margie, Bertrand's comment should be referenced in both of those, in 4.2 and 4.4. Okay?
Okay.
And I'll send that, yeah.
Now, 4.5, I don't know that we have time. We spent quite a bit of time on this one already. Mary gave a formulation. I gave a little different formulation. Right now, the way it words is the contracted advisors will be expected to have specific expertise in interpreting instruments of international law and relating to human rights and our civil liberties. The first sentence only.
I thought Milton had asked to delete the end.
He did, but
he did. But there were also people that had other formulations.
Okay, fine.
So that's why, rather than continuing to work that one, and we would have probably taken another 10, 15 minutes, I said come back to it if we can.
Sorry, this is Constantino. Sorry to be jumping in without raising my head, but I thought that you replaced "and" with "including."
Well, that was my suggestion. Okay, I don't. I think Milton opposed that, though, didn't he?
I'm not sure.
So what I had suggested, and I see your hand, Alan. Just a second. The contracted advisors will be expected to have specific expertise in interpreting instruments of international law, including those relating to human rights and/or civil liberties. Does anybody object to that? Now, while you're thinking about that, let me let Alan comment.
Yeah, I was really commenting on the previous one and noting that to the extent possible, Bertrand's comment is supported by others. I'm certainly one of them. And if there's a way of wording it that, perhaps Bertrand can word it saying he and others on the group support.
Okay. Thank you, Alan. Got that, Margie?
Well, I think Bertrand can word it.
Okay.
To imply he's not alone.
Hmm.
Yeah, I'll do that.
Nice.
Okay, and I see a support for that from Cheryl.
Can you repeat that? I missed it.
Alan says Bertrand's comment that he's going to add for 4.2 and 4.4, he supports that as well. It's not just Bertrand.
And so I will word it under Bertrand and a few others support the problem that.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Is there support for... Now, Mary had a little different formulation, but there was some concern expressed about putting the human rights and civil liberties in the preeminent position in the front. And I thought that Milton... I don't know if Milton's still on. I thought that he didn't agree to my formulation, the one of including those relating to human rights and or civil liberties.
Milton had to go.
Okay. So now, are there any on this call that voted against this one that would change their vote with my formulation, the including those relating to? Not hearing anybody.
No.
Because we're out of time, and I think we have at least one more to come back to. I think we just leave it alone. It's certainly not perfect. Margie, you might want to particularly note that this one we could have used a little more time on.
Okay, so I'm not changing anything there.
No.
Well, only the changes that we agreed to earlier.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
the law. I know that.
Okay.
Delete.
And then very quickly, I think the only other one we were going to come back to is 5.3. The higher threshold should be at least 2/3. my recommendation, and I you certainly can overrule me. Just a few people could overrule me. Is that we let the board deal with that in terms of the definition of two-thirds, whether it's two-thirds of the board or whatever. But the point is that whatever it is, it should be at least two-thirds. Anybody? Konstantinos.
Sorry, Chuck, I don't disagree. Just for recommendation 4.5, I just had voted no, and that is a mistake. Can you please just pick me as a yes?
Oh, so you would change yours on 4.5?
Yes, I mean, I don't know. I just realized that I had voted no, and that's a mistake on my part. Sorry
for
that.
So we're up to, that was 4.5, so that was 17 out of 21. So if there's anybody else that changes their vote, we could actually move to the consensus category. But
can we reach out to Anthony, who had not managed to make his additional vote, remembering that he voted for 4.5?
Didn't he tell me that he's not voted on that?
If we reach out to him, then it makes an opportunity to move it to consensus, and B, validates the full 21 across the board.
State that last sentence again, please, Cheryl.
Then it would also validate that it's 21 respondents to all questions at the moment. It's 21 respondents to everything but 4.5.
Oh, very. Let's do that, because that is one email I saw that is in my inbox. There's a whole bunch of others I haven't. So it would be 18 out of 21 then, and that would be consensus.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now
as it is, if he doesn't vote, then.
Yeah.
17 out of 20 is still arguably consensus.
I would like to know how he could avoid voting.
4.5 wasn't in the very first cut, and four or five people were so keen to get this done, they did it the moment it came out.
Got it.
That was Marika's first version didn't have that one in there, Alan.
I understand now.
Yeah, and she had, okay, you got it. Good. I'm sorry. I won't go any further. All right. It's not perfect. I doubt if we'd ever get it perfect if we had another couple months. I think that we're giving the board something, a lot of stuff to think about. A lot of good thought went into this. And certainly if they want to come back to us as a group, I'm sure most all of you would be willing to provide some feedback. Feel free to add some of your comments in the public comment period. Encourage others to do so. I hope that the board and the community appreciates the work of this group. I certainly have appreciated everybody's contributions.
Chuck,
so with that said,
Chuck,
anybody have anything else before I adjourn this call?
Chuck, do you hear me?
Yes, I can. Bertrand.
Yeah. Just one point on 5.4, the simple majority. I will send to Margie a note according to what I said before, in the same spirit of the other one, the 4.2, to explain the dissenting opinion.
Thank you. That's good. And again, you'll do that right away, right?
Yeah.
Okay, Margie's going to try and apply it today, since she's on an earlier time zone.
Sure, that's for 5.4?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Got it.
Okay.
Alan has his hand up.
Yeah. Chuck, before you adjourn, thank you and Cheryl for leading us through this morass.
Yeah.
And getting us
getting
us to a point where I didn't think we would succeed.
Thank you.
Yeah, like Cheryl said, thanks to Frank for being, representing the GAC filling in for Heather on this. Thank you very much, Frank, and that's much appreciated. Aubrey?
No, she was clapping just like I am.
Oh, is that what that is? I can't tell. All right.
Thank you very much, Chuck, and thank you all. I fall short of saying it's been a very great pleasure, but it's been a very interesting experience.
I think I'll leave that one alone.
You and I are going to have a chat. chat when we meet, mate. Don't you worry about that.
Okay.
Congrats.
Dave, I saw that. All right. Everybody have a good evening, and we're not going to schedule another call right now. There could be an occurrence for a need for one. We'll just see how things fall out. And have a good day, a good evening, whatever's left for you. We will, I'm sure, talk again.
We're going to miss it.
Meeting adjourned.